Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of Prep Rally, the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal's high school sports podcast. It's a new thing. Maybe you haven't seen it or heard it yet. It's also, as you can tell, a webcast, obviously. I'm Brad Locke, online editor of the journal, joined again by Mr. Gene Phelps, a.k.a. Uncle Gene.
There you go.
Senior writer.
Grandpa.
Senior writer at the journal. How you doing, Gene?
I'm doing great.
Gene, the resident high school sports expert, because he's been here a long time, does a good job. We're going to break down some things going on lately in high school sports. If you didn't join us last week, this is the second episode, and that's kind of what we do. We just cover high school sports in the region. We've got, 60-plus schools with high school programs?
We do. And then you add girls and boys sports, and you can double it.
Exactly. We got a lot to talk about to choose from. What we're going to focus on today, we'll talk a little bit about basketball in just a minute because we're kind of transitioning into basketball. But first, we need to kind of put the bow on football, Gene. And by the way, I need to remind y'all to follow the show on Twitter. We have a Twitter account for the show at DJournalPreps. And you can actually go back and listen to the first episode of this program at PrepRally.DJournal.com. That page is still kind of under construction, but you should be able to listen to that first episode from last week if you want to. Now, it was looking ahead to the football championships. A little more relevant now is looking back at them. Obviously, last weekend in Oxford, you had the state football title games at Vaught Hemingway. Seemed like a good time was had by all, unless you lost the game.
I tell you what, Ole Miss did a bang-up job hosting this year. We had plenty of really good parking for the media, which is
good.
We're kind of selfish. we had some blowout games, but it was fun, and I think the fans showed up. I think I hadn't seen the numbers, but I think there may have been more people this year. And
good.
You know, nice crowds. The weather was fine. It was a little chilly, but it was football weather. We didn't have rain or snow or anything like that, so it was good.
Well, we had three area teams in the championship games among the six classifications: East Webster, Starkville, and Oxford. And let's start with the Oxford game, Gene. That was it's probably the wildest game of the bunch. Wayne County ends up with the win, 45-41.
I believe that was it. I thought we were in for an arena league game there in the first quarter. It was like 24-17 something like that.
Took the defenses about 12 minutes to finally show up.
Yeah.
But ended up being a great game. I actually managed to catch the last quarter plus of it, the most dramatic part. But they just kept going back and forth in the final quarter. Wayne County scored with a minute 17 to go or something.
Right.
But you knew Oxford had plenty of time to get down and score again because that offense gets down the field in a hurry with Jack Abraham, DK Metcalf, and those fellas. And they got down the field, Gene, and they got down inside the five. I believe, and we're just going to kind of focus on these last two plays first. They're at the 4-yard line? I forget the down.
It
didn't matter. Because they had time for two plays.
That was it. Yeah.
And the first play, Abraham rolls out. Was that a pass run option?
It was. And he tucked it and ran, and that was a good option. His receivers recovered from what he could see on that side of the field. There's some, I've talked with a number of people since the play happened, and everybody's looked at the replay, and I think it probably was a good call. I think he stepped out of bounds before he hit the pylon.
Yeah, that was a very close call, closer than the Metcalf play, which we'll talk about in a second. But this was the next to last play of the game. Oxford, actually, I think at this point had no timeout, so it was good he got out of bounds at least, with just a few seconds left. But he dives for the pylon, left side of the field, left side of the end zone. And yeah, I watched the replay several times, and it's the slow motion replay, and it's a good angle from the end zone. I don't know if it was the MHSAA broadcast or maybe Robbie Donahoe from WCBI.
Right.
Some good footage, may have been him. But anyway, looked like just a millisecond before he hit the pylon with the ball.
He did, which would have been a touchdown if he was inbounds.
But it looked like just before that happened, his left foot just dragged onto the white of the boundary.
I talked with a coach last night at a basketball game, and a lot of coaches showed up. That's how all over the place.
Yeah.
This coach was standing in the end zone, and he said, right where it happened, and he said his foot hit the white.
Yeah.
His toe did.
Yeah.
He said, I didn't know if he had done that before he hit the pylon or not, but he said he did.
It definitely
step
did.
Out of bounds.
And you know, at regular speed, that looks like, you know, it's almost like in baseball, you see a close play at first. Maybe the throw just beat the runner, but it looks like a tie. It probably looked just bang, bang, that close. And for the ref to actually get the right call, I mean, maybe he got luckier. Maybe he was able to actually see.
Maybe on those plays, and I haven't talked with any referees, and I don't even know what referee – I don't even know the alignments for a referee who would have made that call, but I would imagine on something like that, he was looking down at the ground, too, to see.
Oh, certainly.
You know, he was watching that line. And that was a great call. That same referee made the call on the next play,
too. The next one, which is can be one that can be tricky to call because when he falls to the ground, he reaches out. I believe he actually did break the plane with the ball. But his knees hit the ground first, and then he fell forward. DK Metcalf on the last play of the game, they pitched it. It was interesting formation. They started out in kind of a spread-out formation, then they bunched it up and took a quick snap, and Abraham pitched it. Abraham with a broken collarbone at this point because of the previous play, pitches it to Metcalf, your best athlete on the field. You give him the ball if you can. And it basically comes down to a one-on-one play, and I guess it was a cornerback, some kind of defensive back for Wayne County. I don't even remember his name. Made a great tackle, and Metcalf, when his knees hit the ground, then he falls forward, and I think that was another good call by the officials.
Yeah. I haven't seen a replay of that play that much. I've had some other people tell me that maybe if DK would have tried to go to the outside instead of trying to juke the guy. It just happened bang.
But in that situation, I mean, he's a pretty good sized kid. You think maybe he can bust through that tackle as well. But it's just, hey, credit Wayne County for making the plays at the end. And, you know, as much as people like to complain about officiating, give the officials credit. They got those two calls right. If they'd called, I mean, I don't know how much complaining there would have been on the Abraham play if they called it a touchdown because it was so close. I'm sure Wayne County people would have taken umbrage with that. But it was such a bang bang play in real time. It could have gone either way. But still, so it's a tough way to lose a game, especially Johnny Hill, the longtime head coach at Oxford. That was his last game. He's retiring now. Yeah. That's a tough way to go out, but Gene can't really diminish what Johnny did at Oxford.
Oh, absolutely. He's had a great career as a coach. I think his players have loved him, whatever stop he's been in. He did a good job here in Tupelo for 4 years when he was here. They had some very competitive teams, beat South Panola.
Back in the 90s, wasn't it?
Yes. And then, you know, had a great run there in Oxford. He just thought it was time to step down, time to walk away. And
he's been coaching for a good, 40 years?
40 years. I talked with his wife last week, and she's been with him 42 years. They got married but prior to his junior year when he was playing football at the University of Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Wow.
I don't even know if it was University of Tennessee, Chattanooga then. I think it was just Chattanooga.
Yeah.
And that family has been football from
They've got, four sons all involved
four
in football?
Four sons,
And Stan played at Marshall. Was it Stan?
He did. Stan had a really good career at Marshall.
He did.
Set some school passing records, I think, at the time.
Sure did.
We all know that, I think Jake played at Ole Miss. He's coaching now at Tupelo. And he's coaching now at New Albany. He'd been on Johnny's staff. Both Chad and Walt Hill are both Southeastern Conference officials, and I believe it was Walt who worked the SEC championship game this past weekend.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So, it's a football family. And you mentioned his wife. That was a good column you had. If y'all didn't see it in Sunday's Journal, you can go to djournal.com and find it. You talked to Johnny's wife. Remind me of her name.
Linda.
Linda. Kind of talking about what's next for Johnny Hill because all he's known is getting ready for the next practice, game, or whatever next season.
That was her question for him all week. What are you going to do tomorrow, next week, Coach? And he would just laugh it off. I'm not sure Johnny knows what he's going to do. I know he likes to hunt and fish. He says he likes to play with his grandkids. I think he's just going to relax and enjoy, and he'll be able to go watch Jake.
Exactly.
New Albany.
He just finished his first year as New Albany.
He did. And Linda said she only went to watch him one time during the open day because she told him, I'll come see you next year. I'm going to watch your father this year. I'm not going to stop going to watch his games. And they'll be able to go to ball games. I know Norris Ashley comes out and supports his son, Jonathan, and Ingemar. He's there when his health lets him. Always supportive, sitting there on the baseline at Ingemar for basketball. So
what's next for Oxford High football with Johnny stepping down?
I don't know who the new coach is going to be.
They haven't hired him yet.
That'd
be interesting.
It'll be interesting to see what pops up on that. Good foundation.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. You know, and the good athletes, they always seem to get really good athletes there in Oxford and Lafayette, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Those teams are always, I've seen those Lafayette teams get off the bus and go, wow.
Yeah. Well, they won back to back a few years ago with the big guy that's for Ole Miss now.
Yeah, the big guy.
The big guy. The quarterback turned tight end turned tackle.
You shouldn't have asked me.
Well, yeah, I know.
We'll call him Charlie Brown.
Oh, boy. Anyway, apologies. Yes, yeah, you know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But it'll come to me after the show. But, yeah, a lot of good athletes over there. It's going to be interesting to see which way Oxford goes. But, you know, going to lose some guys. Jack Abraham going to Tulane. DK Metcalf, he's an Ole Miss commit, isn't he?
Right.
Right, right. And got some other guys that they're going to lose, but they managed to restock and reload pretty much every season. But Johnny Hill has been a mainstay there and in the Northeast Mississippi coaching community. So it's a big loss for
everybody.
Wouldn't
surprise me if they went with a young coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably so. I can see that. So anyway, let's move on from Oxford to let's talk about Starkville. They're the one area team that did win a state title, beating Pettle. Yeah, it was Pettle in the 6A. Title game. Ricky Woods, first year in Starkville, Gene, and he just does what he's always done. Eighth state championship for him.
He wins championships.
That's all he knows how to do.
He's very unassuming. He doesn't really like publicity. He's a tough interview. But he just wins games, and that's what he's hired to do. Of course, now he had a talented team. They lost some. Jamie Mitchell lost some really great players last year, but he had some great ones coming back. Of course, the receiver AJ Brown is a
big time talent. Yeah.
Oh, he is. And, you know, it seems like it's Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Alabama, the top three in the picture. He kind of cracked me up when I read Brandon Speck's story the other day. He says, nobody believed in us. I went, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, kids kind of.
Somebody bought into that. That must have been Ricky's.
That can be a motivating factor. Yeah. All the haters.
Nobody believes
it. Nobody thinks that Starkville can win with all these athletes and Ricky Woods.
When Ricky got that job, I kind of thought, well, I imagine and Starkville will win the championship this year.
Yeah, that's what I imagine. He's got eight championships. He's okay, he had four at South Panola, make sure I got this right, two at Ackerman before that,
right?
And he won one in Tennessee recently.
Yeah, he did.
And then this one at Starkville,
right,
makes eight. What's his secret, Gene? I mean, because
he goes where they have good players.
He looks like that helps. He looks like a history teacher, but
Yeah.
One of the best football coaches in the history of this state, obviously. Yeah. Jeremy Liggins.
Yeah.
That's the guy's name. Sorry. I got off the track. That's the kid I was talking about earlier.
I think coaching plays a big part. I think athletes do, too. You know, he's been at some great places. I mean, you know, it's hard not to win at South Panola.
True. Lance Pogue has done good for himself.
You know, Ricky Woods won at Northwest Community College, too, though.
Which, by the way, Northwest just won the national championship.
Yeah.
Congrats to them.
Yeah.
A couple of years after being 1-8.
The Rangers are back.
Yeah, they are. So Ricky Woods, he wins wherever he goes. And now he came into a good situation. Jamie Mitchell, because when I was covering high school, the high school beat here for the Journal, I did that from basically 05 to 08. Starkville football at the time was just, they were okay. That they were not a state title contender. Jamie Mitchell changed that. He came in there and they won state in 2012.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Ricky, like you said, he came where the good players were and where a good program was, but you still got to win the games.
Oh, absolutely, because he's playing in a division or a part of the state where you had to play Madison Central, you had to play South Panola.
It's tough.
I mean, it's not an easy road.
No, ever. Not at all.
Not even for South Panola.
No, yeah. They got knocked out this year. So anyway, that's, I guess, kind of the wrap-up there for high school football. It's done for the season, Gene. Won't know what to do with my Friday nights.
So I know what I'll do. I'll be in a gym.
Yeah, that's where you'll be. Which brings us to basketball. By the way, you can get updates not only at djournal.com on the high school sports, but at our blog, high school sports blog, nemispreps.com. That's N-E-M-I-S-S preps.com. And the Twitter is also at nemispreps, I believe.
Okay.
Brandon Speck and Gene and others often updating that site. So, let's talk about some basketball, Gene. Had a couple of games last night. Let's talk about your game. You were at Belmont New Site Girls.
Yeah.
And those two teams always have good product on the court.
Yeah, these are two traditionally good girls programs, and they've both won their share of state championships recently. They may not be as talented this year as they have been in the past. They're still both well coached.
Yeah.
I think, and they're in the same division. The game last night, which New Sight won by about 5 or 6 points, you know, was not a division game. They only play one game that counts in the division, and okay. that starts during the season.
Right. Division play starts correct. Usually January.
Yeah, yeah, the game that counts in that one will be January the 22nd okay. at Belmont. But all they're doing is playing for seeding in the division tournament, which is played at Northeast every year.
Sure.
So still a very good division, especially when you think, you know, Belmont's the defending state champion, but they lost all their players except for one.
Yeah.
And so it's Chris Higginbottom's got him 6-2. That's a
he's a good coach.
Yes, he is. I don't know if anybody else could have him 6-2. Yeah. They're a work in progress, and they're playing better. I think a lot of folks thought coming in that New Sight would blow them out last night, and they hung with them the entire way.
Yeah, that was a 51-43 final. Yeah,
yeah. I don't believe that. I told somebody last night, I said, I don't believe I've ever been to a ball game that Belmont's girls played and didn't see them shoot a 3-pointer. Did not even attempt one.
Really?
So that lets you know they just don't have the shooters right now. Maybe he'll be developing some in the games to come or in the years to come. But you know, Belmont will be a competitive team. They'll yeah. knock somebody off one night, and
yeah.
But you know, the other team in that division is Boonville.
Yeah, yeah, and then they're always good.
I would say right now we're coming out with our first rankings this week. Basketball. Brandon and I decided we'd let them play basketball for a few weeks. We were really, you know, instead of just grasping when we were right in the middle of football and trying to think basketball.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it.
You know, and go. So we let them play, and I have a pretty good feeling that you'll see Boonville at the top of our rankings in girls basketball.
Okay.
Their Boonville team is really solid. They lost to Belmont on a last-second shot in the championship game last year. They won it the year before.
Yeah.
Boonville did, and Michael Smith's got a really talented team, a deep team, and I think they may have the best shot up here to win a state championship this year.
Let's talk a little boys' hoops. Last night, we had this story in the paper as well today. Tupelo and Aberdeen boys, Tupelo winning, going away 81-49. They are still undefeated, Gene. What, 9-0? Jeff Norwood has a good thing going there with the
way. He does. He's got a lot of players, he plays them all. And he doesn't mind substituting, and there's a method to his madness.
Sure.
He believes in getting fresh bodies out there. He's got a kid named Trey Jenkins, probably his best player, and really a phenomenal player. And they're just winning with the way they play. They're very aggressive. They can fast break. They can press you. Like I said, he's – I covered them last week. I've only seen them that one time. They played a good Pontotoc team.
Yep.
And, and of course, Norwood said, hey, we just had more bodies than they had. But they still beat Pontotoc pretty good. And I think, you know, Tupelo's a team to look out for. Of course, Norwood knows what 6A basketball is like, especially when you get in the north half and especially when you get down to Jackson. You're playing some really competitive programs, especially from the Jackson area, and a lot of coast teams have competitive programs. And still a tough road, but I would say the Golden Way is probably one of the top teams in the area by far, boys.
Looking ahead to this weekend, Gene, a lot of big games. It's December, getting into holiday tournaments, that sort of thing. One of them that kind of intrigues me is this O-Town Showdown going on. I guess that's over in Oxford.
It is, and this is the one that Drew Tyler likes to put together. He likes to bring some of the academies
up
and play the public schools, and he's got some nice matchups. He's playing the boys and the girls from Oxford Friday night are playing Jackson Prep, so those will be two pretty good matchups.
Yeah,
he's got Madison Regional Academy coming up and playing a Two Rivers, Arkansas. I don't know anything about Two Rivers.
I don't know. Got a team from Texas.
Millsap, Texas plays Amory. North Pontotoc plays Amory. That's a boys and a girls game there.
You got games Friday and Saturday. Saturday also, you got, again, same teams basically. MRA is going to play that Millsap, Texas team and girls, and the boys MRA team will play Jackson, Tennessee University School.
Right.
Then you got Oxford boys and girls both playing the Two Rivers, Arkansas team. and then boys and girls Jackson Prep against South Haven. So
right.
Yeah, kind of a cool, different kind of tournament, isn't it, Gene?
It is, and you know, I think Drew looks just, he likes those matchups.
Sure.
And I think it during the holiday time, people are looking for something unusual, and I think people like to see public and private play each other.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
And usually MRA and Jackson Prep are usually two of your top dogs every year. Yeah. So
good deal. All right, so look for that, and look for all our coverage of high school sports at djournal.com. And good show, Gene. You can be found on Twitter at Gene Phelps.
That would be it.
I'm at Brad Locke, and the show is at D Journal Prep, so you can tweet at us or whatever. And send us an email if you got any questions about high school sports. It is, make sure I get it right here, Gene, preprally@journalinc.com. It's Journal Inc. INC. preprally@journalinc.com. So, Gene, thank you.
All right.
And we'll do it again next week, everybody. Again, this will be in podcast form pretty soon. If you missed any of the show, any of the webcast here today, hey, it's a Google Hangouts. You can just watch the replay. It'll be up here on djournal.com for a while, and then we'll move it at some point into the sports section of the website. But you'll be able to find it. Not too difficult.
I would like to say that Biggersville's got a big Christmas classic.
Oh yeah, they do.
Saturday.
Forgot about that.
Start at 8:30 in the morning. All boys games, with the exception of one girls game, Biggersville versus Indianola Gentry, and the nightcap, Baldwin versus Tupelo. So two of the best teams in the area play each other, boys teams. That's an 8:30 start. You'll probably see a second day story on that because I'm sure they'll be behind.
I'll be
trying to run the games together.
It's one of those fun big school, small school matchups that the school size doesn't necessarily matter because Baldwin's good.
Yeah, I believe Brandon will be covering that for us, and he's kind of knows that he's going to have that one in the next day.
Good deal.
But he'll have something online.
Okay, good deal. All right, Gene, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all for watching. Catch you next time.